Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Praise the Lord, from the series Exodus, and shows you how the Israelites' response to God's miraculous work at the Red Sea teaches us the true power and purpose of praise. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
Some events in life are so spectacular that we want to go back and relive them. Oftentimes when someone is getting married, they'll have a videographer and photographer come and take video and pictures so that when the day is over, it's such a wonderful event that you want to go back and relive it with family and friends. Sometimes if there's a sporting event that ends up being so spectacular, they'll put it on rerun, on a classic rewind immediately afterwards and just play it over and over. Because when something is so spectacular, it seems as if we want to tell everybody else about it. As we've been going through the book of Exodus, perhaps no story is more spectacular than the story we read about in Exodus chapter 14. The parting of the Red Sea, God taking his people through, God then destroying the Egyptian army as they tried to follow and take them out. And what is the response when they're done? You see, at this time in history, they didn't have videotape. There were no videographers in Israel that were there videotaping. Nobody was taking pictures. And so what they did to make sure they could pass on from generation to generation to generation is that they wrote a praise song and they sang it. Because as they sang songs of praise to God and they put it into lyric, then they could remember that. And as a nation, they could continue to remember that specific event over and over and over again. There's something special about praise, that when we spend our time praising the Lord, honestly, it is a response to the greatness of who God is. It's a response to who he is and why he's so great. And when we see our God at work, that's what we should do. We should always respond in praising the Lord. And by the way, praise is not a have to. Praise is not, oh, you better or else. Praise is not you must. Praise is not because you're in church, we expect you to. Praise is because my God is so incredible and my God is so good and my God is so awesome. I can't help but praise his name. I can't help but sing to him. That's what praise really is. And regardless of what your experience is in church, sometimes we get skewed in what we understand praise being because based on our experience in a religious service, we think that's what praise is. Some of us grew up in small churches. Some of us grew up in large churches. If your experience, and I've been in all of them. If your experience was being in a church of 24 where somebody was plinking on the piano and they were deciding what to sing at that time, that may be your understanding. Well, that's what praise is. If somebody had somebody on a pipe organ, you might say that's what praise is. If somebody sang without instruments, you might say that's what praise is. And so oftentimes in church, people will say sometimes, I'm just really not that into praise. That's not really my thing. Really, it is your thing because God created you in his image and he created you for praise. He created you to respond to him. And oftentimes we link what we've seen that's what we're actually praising. So for me, growing up in a small church, watching an older woman playing the piano and people singing songs, I would tell you I'm really not into older women playing the piano and singing songs I don't understand. So I would have said I'm not that into praise, but it's not who is playing music or not playing music. It's who are they directing us to? And when we get a picture of what true praise is, that we're praising the God of the universe, the one who created everything out of nothing, the one who created you in his image, the one who made you fearfully and wonderfully made, the one who loved you so much, he sent his only begotten son to rescue you from death and give you life. You can't help but to praise his name. Now, we're fortunate here at Brave. We have a wonderful praise team, but on our praise team, we tell them all the time, prepare yourself in praise and worship all week long because your job is to guide people to God. It's not about who's good and who's singing and who does. It's about directing the worship to the Lord. And so there's all different kinds of styles and all different kinds of ways, but the Lord wants us to praise. Even in the Psalms, which are basically hymns that are written of praise, in the very last Psalm, Psalm 150, it talks about praise the Lord, praise him with the lyre, praise him with the timbrel, praise him with all these instruments. And then Psalm 150 verse 6 says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That means this, if you're still alive, what's God asking you to do? Praise him. Praise him. Now here in this story that we read about last week is completely worth repeating. So I'm gonna invite you, if you have your Bible, open up to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I wanna read through the end of that chapter again, just 19 through 31, just to tell you about this story, because praising God is honestly a response. It's so natural. It's so instinctive. It's so legitimate. That's what it's about. And so think about this story and think about if you were an Israelite in there and you were one of those who crossed the sea, what might your response have been when you were part of this story? Now remember, Israel's been crying out. They've been delivered. God's been doing amazing things. And yet when they get to the banks of the Red Sea, they're between a rock and a hard place. They can't go forward in the sea and they can't go backwards because the Egyptian army is coming and closing in on them. So what do? They're not fearing the Lord, they're fearing Egypt. So they begin to whine and complain and grumble. And how come we didn't die in Egypt? It would have been so much better to die there than to have to go to all through this work just to die out here. And God tells them what? Tell your people to just remain silent and see the salvation of the Lord. Stop talking and watch me work. And this is where our story picks up. It says, the angel of the Lord, I'm in verse 19 of chapter 14, the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light as night. Thus one did not come near the other all night. God has been leading them by a pillar of fire at night, a pillar of cloud by day. God says, I'm about ready to work, so just keep walking. The cloud now, which represents the Lord's presence, goes behind them as a rear guard to protect them from Egypt that's coming. What's God saying? I got you in this, and I'm gonna give light through my cloud, so even though it's gonna be night, and even though you're gonna need to move through the sea, I've got you taken care of. I'll protect you, and I'll provide light to your way. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now, if that doesn't cause you to gasp, it's because you're way too familiar with the story. Moses stretched out his staff. That was his responsibility. When he does, God parts the waters wide enough for 2 million people to walk through. And what kind of ground did they walk through on? Was it damp? Was it muddy? No, it was powder dry. That's how we know it was the Lord. He drove the waters back so much that there's a bank of water on their right and there's a bank of water on their left. We've never seen anything like it. Even if you've been to Universal Studios and walked through their thing, it's nothing like what actually happened. I mean, this is amazing. You can picture little kids like going along and dragging their hand in the water. Like, this is cool. And all the way they go through. Now look what happens with Egypt, verse 23. Then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. At morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. This is like a grand finale at a fireworks display. We had the cloud, now the pillar of fire is there, and where's the Lord? He's looking down from heaven at Egypt. That is to signify, as big as an army as Egypt was, they were the most powerful force to be reckoned with in the day. What did the Lord have to do? He had to look down on them. His pillar of fire, his pillar of cloud, his presence is with them. I mean, this is a spectacular display of the Lord's presence in a way that Israel has never seen before. And as he looks down, he causes the Egyptians to be confused. They're not aligned in their mission anymore, because look what happens next in verse 25. This is talking about the Lord still. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So they're going in with chariots. The chariot wheels are swerving. They can't keep the chariot on the road, so to speak. They're swerving all the place. And notice how they respond. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. their God is fighting against us and he's for them.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Praise the Lord, from the series Exodus, showing you how the Israelites' response to God's miraculous work at the Red Sea teaches us the true power and purpose of praise. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. Their God is fighting against us, and he's for them. They've had 10 instances in their history where the Lord has shown up in plague form, where they know that God is powerful. Now, personally, they recognize as they've gone in after the Israelites, we picked the wrong day to fight this God. This is not just Israel. This is Israel's God, and he's fighting against us. We can't keep our chariots there. Nobody's in alignment. Everybody's arguing with each other. And so notice what happens in verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots, and over their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. This is the second time he's done this. And the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone in after them. Listen to this. Not one remained. Not one troop survived. All dead. But the sons of Israel walked on what kind of land? Dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and their left. He has to repeat it because it's so amazing. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand or the power of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Can you picture what they were watching? All those that they were afraid of that were coming after them are now floating corpses on the sea. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord. Who were they fearing before? They were fearing the Egyptians before. Now who are they fearing? We're fearing the Lord. That's a good kind of fear to have. And they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This is the first time we really see Moses being elevated. All this time, as Moses has been doing everything the Lord's calling him to do, Moses has been ridiculed even by the Israelites and saying, why'd you do this? Why'd you bring us here? Now on this final effort where the Egyptian army is destroyed, what's Israel say? Okay, God is worthy of being feared, and maybe Moses does know what he's talking about. Maybe he has been listening to that God. We needed this today. Right? That's what's going on. So praising God now then is a response. How are they going to respond to what God did? I mean, you can't go through an event like that and be the same anymore. You can't go through something like that and say, hey, what's for dinner tonight? It takes about 3 days to ask that question. But when you go through something like that, there has to be a response to God. When you experience God in the big or you experience God in the little, God needs to be praised. And praise is simply that. Praise is a response. It's a joyful recounting of all that God has done for us. It's clapping, it's applauding, it's raising our arms, it's telling him that he is worthy for who he is and all that he's done. So today I want to talk about four ways we can respond to the Lord, or four reasons we can respond to the Lord in praise. I've entitled this just Praise to the Lord. And here's why. Because as we go through the first part of chapter 15, the first part of the week is I'm saying, how do you preach a song? I mean, I felt like for those of you that are old enough, and I'm dating myself here, I understand. But for those of you who grew up in the 70s and the 80s, remember American Bandstand with Dick Clark? And he'd have this like young couple on there and he would play a song for them and he'd say, what do you think? And they would say something like this. I don't know. It was a good beat. It was easy to dance to. I give it a 75. At the beginning of the week, that's how I felt about Exodus 15. Like, how do I grade a song in God's word. But as the week went on, I realized God didn't put that song in there just for us to grade it. This is written by the Holy Spirit through Moses. The song is fine. He wants us to see attributes of why we're called to praise our God. And the first is this: we are called to praise the Lord for his unparalleled attributes. His unparalleled attributes. You'll hear in this psalm today, who is like our God? There's no one like our God. Notice what happens. Verse 1 of chapter 15. Then Moses, this is right after all this happened. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang the song to the Lord. Can I pause here for 1 minute? What's the first thing that's the knee-jerk, natural reaction of the nation of Israel when they see God move? The spiritual leader writes a song and all the men sing it together. You didn't hear what I said. Men are leading worship. Men, you may not like certain styles of worship, but God created you to worship. I went to the state championship game at Mile High yesterday, and on both sides of the field, each team had some great plays. And when they did, one side of the field would erupt. And then when this team did good, the other side of the field would erupt. Nobody was holding up signs saying, please applaud now. Why? Because when your heart is attached to someone or something that you believe is worthy, it springs forth from you. Praising the Lord is a natural response for looking at the things of God that you can ascribe to him. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Even if you're not a believer, but non-believers look in creation at the stars and the mountains and the oceans, and they say, wow, it's amazing. We as Christians say, praise the Lord, he created it. Amen? That's what it means to praise. And so if you can't respond in praise, it's because your heart is not set on the things of God. So notice that, because we'll see this at the end when Miriam gets involved. But the men are leading worship. That's always been the way it's supposed to be. If you get in the book of 1 Timothy, where Paul discusses what should happen in the church, he goes, I expect men everywhere to lift up holy hands. What are men doing? Men are seen in the congregation of God leading the praise and worship to the throne of God. Why do I have to say that in our generation? It doesn't mean women are not called to worship, because women are called to worship and women can be great worshipers. But so often in church, we tend to relegate that out and say, well, that's kind of a woman thing, or that's a feely thing, or that's an emotional thing. Friends, I've been to rock concerts. I've been everywhere. When something is good, I've watched men stand to their feet, applaud, and raise their hands, even the deepest pagans that you've ever seen. How come it is in church oftentimes that's not a response? Here's why. Because our heart for God is not nearly big enough. That's why. Does that make sense? So we're praising God for what? His unparalleled attributes. There's no one like him. He says this, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. Not just my strength, he's who I'm singing about, and has become my salvation. This is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will extol him. The Lord is a what? A warrior. The Lord is his name. What's he talking about? He's talking about the attributes of God and who God is. And if you study the attributes of God and who God is, he is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your response to him. If you want to understand what mercy looks like, study God. If you want to understand what forgiveness looks like, study God. If you want to understand what justice looks like, study God. If you want to understand what any good attribute, love, grace, all of those things are found in the person of God. And when we truly understand how great our God is, we can't help but burst forth in praise to our God. It is so natural, and it's the way that God created us. And let me just say this. If you don't praise God because you were created to praise and worship him, you will find something less than to praise and worship. And it will never satisfy completely. Never. You'll give your heart, you'll give your soul, you'll give your mind, you'll give your praise, you'll give your thoughts to someone other than the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise him because of who he is. And notice what he says. This is my God and I will praise him. It's personal. He's worked on my behalf. He's my father's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What does that mean? It means when I'm praising God, it means when I'm worshiping the Lord, I'm saying, this is my God. I'm praising him because of the testimony that I have. This is my Father's God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of Moses. This is the God that parted the Red Sea. This is the God that rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the God that sent his son, Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He's the God of every single generation, and God allows me to worship him. Isn't that good news? We praise him for his attributes. If you study his attributes, if you spend time in the word, you'll learn that praise glorifies God, praise builds your faith, and praise sends Satan fleeing. When you're going through a tough time, sometimes we want to just talk about it. Praise is like kryptonite to Satan when you're going through a hard time. When you're praising God in the trial and you're praising God in the storm, when you're praising him with all that you have, Satan can't handle that, because when you're going through a trial, he's trying to lie to you and tell you, if God was so good or if God loved you, then here's what should be happening. But the reality is, God loves you so much, he's entrusted you with something difficult to see if you'll still praise him. And when you can praise him in the difficult, and you can praise him in the hard, and you can praise him in the tribulation, it sends Satan running, because he knows he has no grip on you. Praise God for his unparalleled attributes. Our God is good all the time. All the time, our God is good. Our God is merciful all the time. All the time, our God is merciful. Our God is forgiving all the time. All the time, our God is forgiving. I mean, he doesn't stop his goodness, his greatness. That's why when we truly ascribe the word awesome to God, we're rightly placing that word where it belongs. Our God is awesome. He's beyond words. He's incredible. He's worthy of all of your worship. He's worthy of all of your praise. Amen? And here's the question. In your praise, is it becoming something that you prioritize or something that gets marginalized? Because we live in a culture that's trying to get you to be busy so that you think of anything but worshiping the Lord. It has to be for you a priority. Here's the question I have for you. Will your worship endure persecution? Will your worship endure trial? Will your worship endure tough times? Are you growing in your love for Christ, your passion for Christ, your yearning for Christ? I mean, I love the Psalms. The Psalms are a great place to go if you just want to, you know, praise him with your voice or sing. And oh, by the way, you don't have to have a good voice. The Bible gives you permission, if you don't, to just make a joyful noise. So you can kind of squeak out something as you sing these things. But I think about Psalm 34, the entire Psalm is really about praise. But here are these first three verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. What's the psalmist saying? He's not saying I can make God bigger if I sing louder. God is who he is, but I want to magnify him. I want people to know how great, how big my God is. I'll bless him how often? All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm praising him. I'm speaking of him. Bless the Lord with me. Or how about Psalm 95, verses 1-7, where he invites the congregation, oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all God, in whose hands are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are his also. See how he wrote Denver, Colorado in his word? The sea is his and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. What is it? It's an invitation to come worship. You say, well, how? Like, what should we write songs about? What should we sing about? Anything that would bring the Lord praise. I mean, I've been to enough conferences in my life to listen to people talk about worship, enough in my life to know that we all have different areas and different styles of ways in which we prefer to worship the Lord. And I understand that. But God doesn't give us a certain style to worship. God wants us to have a heart of praise and worship for him.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Praise the Lord, from the series Exodus, showing you how the Israelites' response to God's miraculous work at the Red Sea teaches us the true power and purpose of praise. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.